little bit of a groovy tone this morning. The reason I had an enjoyable week, but part of that week was we both had to go through a little bit of the spit and the spew and stuff. Thank Janie Cannon. She sent a word of hello today. Janie got sick earlier in the week, and she's not even able to talk now. Ruth said she's down to texting. It's about the only way that she can communicate right now. But lots of things seem to be going around. I'm experiencing some reverse technology anymore. I say it's not safe a lot of times for me and Louise to go out alone, but if you remember when the paper towel dispensers came out where they automatically dispensed towels, that was really something new for me because I got to looking for that handle. You know, I couldn't find the handle anywhere, and then finally I happened to get the right spot and paper towels dispensed, you know. Well, now when I go into a place, I do all kinds of things, and finally I read and it says push handle down for towel. You know, so that's what happens. Well, Louise and I went into a place and it said ring bell for service. Ring bell for service time. I wish Louise looked at me so funny. I thought, what's wrong? She picked it up and she went. I haven't had some of those in a long time. See one of those. Reverse technology. It's getting the best of it. Next Thursday will be of course, the national holiday of Thanksgiving. And of course, for a lot of people, Thanksgiving is just another occasion for feasting and for football. And someone said if God had meant for us to fast on Thanksgiving, he would have never created 30-pound turkeys. Irma Bombeck once said that the most remarkable thing about her mother is that for 30 years she served the family nothing but leftovers. She said the original meal has never been found. And that made me think of my own mother. It didn't matter when you went to her house, she would feed you. And a lot of it would be in little bitty bowls, leftovers, but it always made for a wonderful feast. Joe and Janice, Rob and Sandy, they raise thousands of turkeys every year. And when I think of them and their turkey houses, I may have read this before, but I'm reminded of Gene Hurt, a longtime resident of Colcord. Of course, Roy and Gene, they passed on, but Gene wrote some just amazing articles. And they were one of the first ones in our area to raise turkeys, had turkey houses. And so Gene wrote a poem, and you may have heard me read this before, but she wrote a poem called A Turkey Grower's Lament. This was her poem. So Robin said, I'll dedicate this one to you, okay? She wrote this. She said, a turkey grower's life is not an easy one. The hard work and the worry we handle with pride. But it is never easy to protect the life of a creature determined to commit suicide. We build wire pens to separate the poults so they won't crawl under something and smother. They were incubated 4 weeks in a stainless steel machine, so they think all metal equipment is their mother. The first week, they are hand-fed and hand-watered and kept at 95 degrees while I roll and bake. I push tons of feed in an old wheelbarrow and carry enough water jugs to fill Grand Lake. I've had turkeys stampede into a corner and smother for no reason that I can explain, and I've seen them die from hangings when they flew up and swallowed hooks on a chain. A wild turkey is smart, majestic, and proud, while the caged ones are constantly put through more tests. They are a lot like the bait shows on TV. Brains don't matter. They keep searching for a bigger breast. So when you give thanks to God for your holiday bird, remember the grower and say a small prayer for him, for there is nothing on earth that is dumber than a turkey, unless it's the poor soul attempting to grow them. Forgive me. When you sit down at your Thanksgiving dinner this week for that turkey, it may have come from the Smith farm. Keep that in mind. We recognize that many people celebrate Thanksgiving Day, as I said, without giving a moment's thought to its significance. In the old comic strip, I and Lois, the son, asked, as they're gathered around the Thanksgiving table, why do we always have turkey on Thanksgiving? And Lois replies, well, because it's a tradition. And her son says, what's a tradition? His brother interrupts and says, something that we've been doing for so long we don't remember why. And maybe that's the way it is a lot of times for Thanksgiving. Sometimes people are surprised to find that Thanksgiving is not a biblical holiday as such. It is a national holiday celebrated by our country. Having said that, of course, the concept of thanks, thanksgiving, of gratitude, it permeates the Scripture. Thanksgiving in Scripture is pictured as a way of life to be lived out each day. Look at some of these passages with me this morning. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 105, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, and make known among the nations what He has done. When Jesus was preparing to feed the 5,000 miraculously, the Bible says that He directed the people to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He gave thanks. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then Jesus, when He instituted the Lord's Supper, the Scripture says that while they were eating, He took bread, He gave thanks, and He broke it to His disciples, saying, take and eat, this is My body. And He took the cup, and He gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. You remember the 10 lepers that were healed of leprosy. And what stood out about that story was only one came back and threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And the Scripture says an unusual aspect of it was he was a Samaritan. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Ephesians 5, verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Colossians 3, 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe. And of course, that is just a small sampling of the passages of Scripture that talk about being thankful, about having gratitude in your heart, about the precious idea of thanksgiving. From those passages, let me mention a few lessons this morning. Number one is to be thankful, is to be reminded always of what others have done for us. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul wrote to encourage them to fulfill a commitment they had made about sending gifts to the poor saints in Judea. He encouraged them in many ways by example to do that. One of those ways, though, was to point out to them what Christ has done for you. And so in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, he said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, you might become rich. A little later, as the apostle contemplated what Christ had done, he said, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. To comprehend, to realize what God has done for us in Christ, it brings thanksgiving to our hearts. We often sing that song, He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. According to Ephesians chapter 1, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If that doesn't prompt praise and thanksgiving in our hearts, then I don't know what can or will. Being reminded of what Christ did for us, does for us, present tense, that prompts thanksgiving in our hearts. We also have much to be thankful for in this great land of ours, and that's really the idea of our National Day of Thanksgiving, to always be reminded of how blessed we are as a nation, as a country. One person said, a country that forgets its history doesn't deserve a future. The English poet Lawrence Binyon, he wrote about the dead of World War I, and he said this, that they shall not grow old, age shall not weary them, nor years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. A lot of people have made sacrifices so that we can have this free and this prosperous land, making it possible for us to have a National Day of Thanksgiving. But really it isn't, when you stop it, it isn't just soldiers. It is also parents and its grandparents, its farmers, its factory workers, its carpenters, its plumbers, its on and on. I would imagine every one of us here, we can look back into our family history. We can look back to our ancestors who worked hard, who probably made very little, but they had one goal in mind, and that was to leave us a little bit better off than where they were. I've told the story often, but I tell it again. Going on 40 plus years ago, Nettie Lyon was our neighbor for years and member of the church here for years and years. But Nettie was out planting a tree. She would have been mid-70s at that time. And I kind of made light of her being out planting a tree. And she made the point to say, Larry, I enjoy planting the tree. Someone else will get to enjoy the shade. And that's exactly right. We owe it debt of thanks for the shade that we sit under today that others prepared for us. When the Israelites were getting ready to enter the promised land, Moses warned them and he said, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. He pointed them back to all of the things that God had done to bring them out of slavery. And he said to them, in essence, don't forget. You remember what's been done for you. And to be thankful is to always be reminded of what others have done for you and me. To be thankful is also to be reminded of what we already have. A few years ago, someone came up with the idea of Black Friday. It was a pretty brilliant idea in lots of ways. It was intended and surely worked to bring out the shoppers on the day after Thanksgiving. Now Black Friday has creeped into Thursday, and now it's the first of the week, and the week before, if you want to get in on Black Friday way ahead of time. No, no, no. Many stores, of course, look on these weeks between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It gives them the opportunity to stay open the rest of the year. A lot of them will say they do as much as 40% of their business over about a six-week period of time. Although the Tulsa World doesn't deliver in our area anymore, their best-selling paper, and Rick and Steve's probably going to get on this delivery, their best-selling paper of the year will be the edition this week that comes out on Wednesday. And it's going to be filled with advertisements about all the things that you need, because advertising is intended to make you think that you need something. And it would be stunning for us to know probably how much money is going to be spent just over the next few days advertising, trying to get you to buy a particular product. And it works. It's based on our discontent. You can't be happy, you can't be satisfied until you get a particular product to add to all of the other products that were supposed to make you happy when you bought them. What most all of us have found out, though, is that the advertising works to get us to buy something, but the end result is it really didn't work either, because we're only content until we read about the next gadget that is being advertised. I'm always reminded when I think of that of the little newsboy who was standing on the street corner and he was selling that stack of papers. He'd say, "Read all about it. 50 people swindled. 50 people swindled." A curious man walked over. He bought a paper and he looked over the front page and didn't find anything. He said to the boy, "There's nothing in here about 50 people being swindled." The little newsboy didn't miss a beat. He called out, "Read all about it. 51 people swindled. 51 swindled." Well, we get swindled by advertising. It makes us forget what we already have in the quest for something more. The early Christians knew about Thanksgiving, even in a culture that didn't celebrate Thanksgiving. And so Paul would write and say, "Giving thanks always to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." To the Colossian church, he said, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." How often we forget to give thanks to God for daily food, for the clothing that we wear, for the shelter of our homes, for the jobs that we have, the vehicle to get back and forth to work, and a thousand other things that we take for granted. And it does us well to remember that song to count your many blessings, name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. Being thankful is recognizing what we already have been blessed with. Then thirdly, to be thankful is to keep our focus on God. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6, and 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And then Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. He doesn't say, give thanks for every circumstance, but he says, in all your circumstances, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In one of Max Lucado's books, he tells about a boy named Paul who grew up in West Texas. And one spring day, a tornado touched down near Paul's home. He was about 4 years old at the time. And at the first hint of trouble, his father hustled all the children inside, laid them and their mother on the floor, and placed a mattress over the top of them. His father explained to them they would be safe there, but as they waited out the tornado, Paul realized that his father had not climbed under the mattress with them. He peeked out to discover that his dad was standing by a window watching the funnel cloud turn and twist across the prairie. When Paul saw his father by the window, he said he crawled out from under the mattress and he ran over and he wrapped his arms around his father's leg. Years later, Paul recalled that day and he said, "Something told me that the safest place to stand in a storm was next to my father." The pilgrims, in spite of all their troubles, they knew the safest place to stand in the storm was in the presence of God. They knew that God was the source of their blessings, and they kept their promises that they would give thanks to God if He sustained them. And that same focus on God allowed Paul to write, "Give thanks in all circumstances." That same focus on God allowed Jesus to give thanks on the night of his betrayal. He took bread and he gave thanks. Being thankful is keeping our focus on God in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the storm around us, in spite of what might be happening at any particular moment. We keep our focus on God, who is present with us all the time. Final thought this morning, and that is, to be thankful is to be generous to others. Earlier in this lesson, I talked with you about Paul encouraging the Corinthian Christians to be generous in their gifts to help the poor saints in Judea. Notice what he says here, beginning at chapter 9, beginning at verse 11. He says to them, "You may be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. The result of their generosity, which was springing from a realization of what Christ had done for them, was to bring more thanksgiving to God from those who were going to receive their gifts. Thanksgiving really involves thanks, and it involves giving. I mentioned the design of advertising earlier. You know, we never see ourselves as those who have too much. Always, always is the message you need more, and you need to shop, and there are more tools, and there's newer cars, there's better computers, there are better things needed, so you need to buy and to get more and to shop. It's hard to be a cheerful giver because we're always feeling that what we possess is needed because we need the next new thing that's to come along. But giving a portion of our blessings is a testimony of faith that we believe that the God who gave us gifts in the past will continue to bless us with gifts in the future. Giving is a statement of our faith in the goodness of God in the past and the expectation of the goodness of God in the future. Our giving bears witness to our faith in the power and the goodness of God. Strange as it may sound to us, the greatest good that comes from the act of giving is the producing of thanksgiving to God. In the case of the Christians at Corinth, when they sent help to Judea, the saints in Jerusalem, as they received that gift, there would be praise and thanksgiving for the marvelous love of God that was shown through the Corinthians. The one who was receiving the gift would give thanks for the gift. They would give thanks for the ones who had made the gift, and they would, in their prayers, be thankful for the gift itself. And so prayers of thanksgiving would go up for the love of God in Christ Jesus, and that would form a connection between the church in Judea and the church in Corinth. Giving always reminds us of how blessed we are by the love and the goodness of God. Let me sum that up just with some statements. We give as an act of praise and thanksgiving. We give as a testimony of our faith that God has blessed us in the past and God will continue to bless us in the future. We give out of our thanksgiving so that there will be joyful praise and thanksgiving from those who receive and those who are blessed by the gift. And finally, but foremost, our giving as children of God is out of the profound awareness of how much we have been blessed by God's goodness to us. I pray this week that you have a wonderful week and a wonderful day of thanksgiving. I pray that you will be blessed, and I pray that you will be a blessing to others. May God be with you and bless you. This morning, if someone's here, not a Christian, not a child of God, the Bible teaches us we're to place all of our faith in Jesus Christ, that we're to repent of sin that is in our life. We're to turn ourselves to God, that we're to confess Christ's name before others. We're to be baptized, immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If you need to respond to Christ this morning, I pray you will come as we stand and as we sing.